Welcome to AIM On Air, the official podcast of the Association for Intelligent Information Management. Founded in 1944, AIM is dedicated to advancing the information management industry. We represent a vibrant global community of information leaders committed to driving exceptional business outcomes through information management, fueled by technology like AI and automation. You can learn more about us at AIIM.org. I'm AIM President and CEO Tori Miller Liu, and it is my absolute pleasure today to introduce our distinguished guest. He serves as the Senior Vice President of Global Technology and Chief Enterprise Architect at Iron Mountain, where he also leads their Artificial Intelligence Center of Excellence. With over two decades of experience spanning technology leadership and enterprise architecture, he brings a unique perspective shaped by his extensive background in both financial services and information management. Prior to joining Iron Mountain, he spent 8 years as a senior vice president at Bank of America, and that's where he honed his expertise in managing complex technological ecosystems in highly regulated environments. So as a thought leader in enterprise architecture, cloud computing, and AI, he now serves on multiple advisory boards, including Nutanix and HMG Strategy, where he helps shape industry direction and innovation. And at Iron Mountain, he is, of course, at the forefront of leveraging AI to transform how they manage and protect and derive value from their information assets. So today he's going to be sharing his own insights on the evolving landscape of information management and the absolute transformative potential of AI in IM. Please join me in welcoming Swami Jayaraman. Welcome to AIM On Air, Swami.
Thank you, Tori, for that wonderful introduction. And thank you for having me on. It's a pleasure to be here on this podcast with you.
Oh, we're delighted to have you. So Swami, we are going to jump right in because I have all sorts of questions for you because you have such an interesting background in IM and finance that I think is quite unique and our listeners are going to really appreciate. So let's kind of start with the basics. So I'm really curious from your perspective, because you've been dealing in this space for so many years, what is your perception about the value of data, particularly unstructured and semi-structured data? Has the valuation of data changed now that we're in the AI era?
That's a great question, Tori. So the answer is absolutely. The rise of sophisticated AI, particularly machine learning and natural language processing, NLP for short, has dramatically increased the valuation of all data, especially unstructured data. MIT study says 80 to 90% of the world's data is still unstructured. Ooh. The name of the game, what generative AI has helped us do, is put some structure to unstructured data. That's the name of the game here. So the areas where I believe us tapping into this unstructured data will help us, the untapped potential. Think about the amount of dark data that we have out there, stuff like emails, documents, audio, video, social media stuff. These were traditionally difficult to analyze, especially at scale, going back a few years. But with the introduction of generative AI, now we are provided with tools that extract meaningful insights, help identify patterns, and unlock latent value within this vast data ocean. So the ability to tap into this untapped potential is huge from my perspective. The second thing I highlight, and we use that within Iron Mountain as well, is the ability to create new revenue streams and insights. AI can transform unstructured data into actionable intelligence, going from data to insights, not stop there, but go from insights to actions, leading to new revenue generating opportunities, improving understanding customers' needs, understanding every interaction that we've had with customers, picking up customer sentiment scores, understanding what their needs are, why are customers calling us, feeding that information into product management, putting new products and capabilities together, creating new streams of revenue using that newfound insight is another profound advantage of leveraging this untapped ocean that we have in front of us. The two other things that are near and dear to my heart, and I'll highlight those really quickly. The first one is operational efficiency. AI-powered tools can automate the processing and analysis of unstructured data, reducing the manual effort and time required for tasks like document review, compliance reporting, and things of that nature. This can lead to significant cost savings and improved operational efficiency for the companies. And last but not least, if positioned right, this could be a competitive advantage because your data is your data. How far can the data go? How much application, practical applications can you get with that data? Extracting value from unstructured data to gain a significant advantage, covering unique insights, making data-driven decisions in a accurate, precise, and timely manner are the few advantages that I can think of, Tori.
Well, I agree with you that those are really distinct advantages. Let me back up for a second because I'm gonna make the probably very safe assumption that Iron Mountain as a company is very high on the maturity scale when we talk about information management and AI adoption. What do you tell an enterprise, a company that they understand? I think it's easy to understand that, yep, my unstructured data is valuable. Now you're telling me generative AI can help me actually structure that data. How do I get started? Like, what do you tell a complete layperson who has no sense of how do you get started? What do you do first?
So I would start with establishing the business priorities and business strategy first, right? So don't use AI as a hammer looking for a nail, but understand what processes would benefit by embedding AI, would benefit by embedding automation, would benefit by embedding technology transformation inside of. So it all starts with starting with a clear strategy and business goal. Mm-hmm. The second piece I would say is focus on the data foundation. I say this to my team all the time. AI without data is like a car without fuel, or a library without books. It would simply not be useful for anybody. So focus on the data foundation. Focus on progress over perfection. Don't worry about needing to get your data to 100% data quality. Like, there are going to be some use cases where 100% data quality is absolutely going to be paramount. But a vast majority of the use cases, you can deal with good enough data to start, to iterate. And you can even use AI to feed your data cleansing and data hygiene activities. So I would start with building the focus on the data foundation second. The third piece is having a diverse team that's skilled enough that understands what AI is and what AI isn't is very important. So talent management at every level of the organization is very good. Here at Iron Mountain, we have come up with an acronym, PAHM, putting AI in the hands of mountaineers. So it's an acronym that we came up with. I can't take the credit for coming up with that name, but it's how we educate our associates, our employees on what AI is, what its capabilities are, what its limitations are, and importantly, what the practical applications of AI are. We want the people that do the work on a daily basis, that show up, deliver value for customers, to surface ideas. Not only surface the ideas, but also go ahead and implement it based on the knowledge, the training that we are imparting on them. So that has been an avenue that has been somewhat successful for us. We have around 1,200, 1,300 people that take these trainings on a daily basis, come up with ideas. We get together as a committee, we review, and we support the execution of those activities. And then, as I said before, starting small and iterating is a great place for us to be. Don't go for the moonshot. Like, take baby steps. Baby steps are absolutely good. That's how you are going to learn. That's how you're going to build your muscle. That's how you're going to build your muscle memory. So taking baby steps, starting small and iterate is absolutely paramount. And then you got to establish your non-negotiables. Security, compliance. If you are worried about data residency, data sovereignty, you need to have a compliance group that advises you on all of these things. So you can double click on those to ensure that you are absolutely going to be in conformance with local laws, rules, and regulations and things of that nature. So having that connective tissue between the compliance teams, the teams doing the AI work, and the rest of the company is absolutely paramount. And then a few other things I would say is focus on demonstrating return on investment, right? Just it's not a science project, but start with the process, then back your way into technology rather than starting with technology and then figuring out what mm-hmm. applications may be best suited for AI. Start from the process side, back your way into technology, have well-defined return on investments and things of that nature so that you know, okay, you're going to have organizational buy-in. You're going to have the right level of support from every part of the company, starting with data privacy, starting with compliance, legal, so on and so forth, third-party risk management, so on and so forth. You're keeping that in mind, and then you start the technical implementation, solving a business problem, staying within the boundaries that your company has defined for you. So that's how I think about like companies that are embarking on this journey. That's how I believe they should start. Start small, it takes a village, get everybody involved, get everybody excited, bring the entire company along with you for the journey.
What I really, there's so much I like about what you just said, especially that system selection itself was like the final and last step. You covered everything from what's our strategy, our actual business requirements, how have we incorporated a diverse team in this before you even got to what AI system am I actually going to use? I think that's very telling and very interesting. So speaking of those business requirements and your strategy, when you think about the information management field, where are you seeing the most promising use cases?
That's another great question. For me, several use cases stand out. The first one is the intelligent document processing. So in Iron Mountain, we have rolled out our own Insight digital experience platform. It's next gen. It's a scalable platform, SaaS-based platform that we have built that helps customers solve real-world problems. For example, IDP, our intelligent document processing that's part of our DXP platform, can automate the extraction, classification, and validation of information from structured and unstructured formats. We have customers that have physical data. We have customers that have digital data, we have some customers that have both. How do we divide the chasm? How do we divide the gap between physical and digital? How do we bring them into a unified IDP or digital experience platform and extracting meaningful information from both physical and digital documents, streamlining things like invoice processing, contract management, and dealing with the regulatory compliance? I see that the intelligent document processing as a very, very prominent use case here. A few other things I would highlight here, content understanding and knowledge management. AI can analyze large volumes of content, help identify key themes, extract knowledge, and improve information retrieval, making it for employees to find information they need when they need it. Second piece is predictive information governance. So that's where our DXP platform can help as well. We see that as a very prominent use case. AI can analyze data patterns to predict potential compliance risks, identify data quality problems, and automate data retention and disposal policies, ensuring better alignment and reducing the risk of regulatory breaches. So here's where, we often work with customers to help with their redundant, obsolete, and trivial data. You don't know what you don't know. If the same type of data here in the US may be treated differently than that data being treated in Europe, for example. So how do we stay abreast of this ever-changing regulatory landscape? How do we ensure that we are always going to be in compliance with these regulations? Those are things that AI can absolutely help customers with. We spoke about the enhanced customer experience piece already. We are leveraging AI, as I said before, analyzing every interaction that we have with customers. Customers may be interacting with us through a phone call, coming in through WhatsApp, coming in through chat, coming in through email. How do you pick up customer sentiments? How do you pull that thread across these various disparate, like channels of engagement that we have coming in from the customers. How do we pull the thread? How do we understand what the customer sentiments are? Are they happy? Are they unhappy? Why are they not happy? What should we do? Are we not providing the right quality services? Are we not providing the right timely inputs to customers? Are we not meeting customers where they are? Getting that full picture view of all your customer interactions with our company has been a game changer, for us. And then the last bit I'll highlight here, Tori, is around risk management and compliance. As we stated before, AI can monitor data for anomalies, detect potential security threats, automate compliance checks, helping organizations in regulated industries or otherwise to meet the stringent requirements more effectively than they can do by themselves.
Oh, those are some great use cases. So talk to me for a moment, though, because you've talked about, you mentioned now twice, I think, basically using AI-powered automation to help with policy enforcement, compliance. Talk to me a little bit about human in the loop and human oversight when you're using AI to automate that type of enforcement. What does that look like?
Yeah, so for us, the idea for us is to use AI not to displace human beings, but to augment human beings, our ability to go at it. So if there is a vast amount of data that needs to be analyzed, we have terabytes and terabytes of data. I'll pick a very specific use case or a very narrow example. Let's say a customer has terabytes and terabytes of data. AI can be effectively used to go scan that data, pick up relevant information, summarize them into meaningful buckets, and then provide that, okay, apply our policy center rules. Hey, look, here are the retention levels. This is PII data. This is PCI data. This is HIPAA data, so on and so forth. Tag it, classify it, and put them in buckets, and then send it over to a human in the loop so that a human being can put their eyeballs on, okay, here's what the AI machine has given us, and here are the actions that we recommend taking. Some of those actions may require conversing with customers and say, hey, look, here's what we have found by leveraging our intelligent information governance processes. How can we help you? In some cases, the human in the loop says, okay, it's all good. Can we go automate cleanup? Can I go get rid of stuff that has way past its retention levels? How can we bring that level of automation in? But for us, human in the loop is a very critical element. It is a very critical path. The difference I see here, Tori, is in years past, the entire body of work needed to be done by a human being by leveraging some system tools that can go scrape the data, get the information back to you. But we were still leveraging the human beings to go peruse terabytes and terabytes, perhaps petabytes of data to make that, okay, I'm going to classify this here. I'm going to classify this as PCI. I'm going to classify this as HIPAA. With AI, we are able to turbocharge that. We are able to move at a very fast pace than we were able to do before, because AI is capable of doing all the initial analysis, the classification, the data enrichment, the data tagging that required a human being to support. Now AI is capable of doing all of that for us, allowing the human being cycles to be spent on tasks that require higher level analysis and complex decision making. That's the shift that we have seen in the information governance space.
This is a bit of a philosophical question, but I've read a couple articles now where pundits have been basically theorizing that because AI is helping us make decisions, especially in cases like that, that we actually psychologically might become lazier in our responsibility to oversee that. So how do you balance that with this technology? And can the technology actually help you make sure that the humans that are in the loop are performing their responsibility?
Yeah, so for me, that's an interesting question. I go back to the invention of a calculator. So the invention of a calculator, people are using logarithmic tables and different ways of doing basic things like arithmetic, mathematics, addition, subtraction, multiplication, division, so on and so forth. I would argue that the introduction of calculators did not make human beings lazy, but it allowed us to use those calculations, which made all of these things like AI and things like that possible. like where we're still leveraging it the same way we did before, where we're still running calculations without a calculator like we used to do in years past, none of these game-changing technological advancements could be possible. That's how I tend to take a look at it. So I see this as another tool in our arsenal, another tool in our toolkit that allows us to be that much more efficient. That's my view on it, Tori. You may have a different view viewpoint on that.
No, I like where you're going with that, because I think I tend to agree with you that it's really saying that the value of that, the quality of that decision is not based on time. It's based off of, was the correct decision made? So it doesn't really, it shouldn't matter anymore if the person grappled with the decision for 2 hours, for instance. Ideally, because the AI is making a suggested decision, it's actually better if they just take 15 minutes to look at it, because then they can make more decisions that they need to make and handle a higher volume, right? That's kind of what you're saying.
That's exactly right. So yes. I see this as a, you're giving a human being that's walking, you're giving him a bike. Now they can go faster. Yes. Earlier, they may have only been able to do 4 miles in a day. Now they can do 45 miles. So they're achieving the right outcomes. The question is, are we moving in the right direction? Are the right decisions being made every step of the way? So that's how I tend to take a look at this. AI as another powerful tool in our arsenal that's going to unlock values unfathomable to us, even a few years ago. Things that we thought were unachievable or unattainable 2 years ago are within our reach right now, thanks to this advancement in technology.
And I think you're sort of inadvertently highlighting one of the obstacles to success with AI and AI implementations, that we have these legacy mindsets around what's the value of data, what's the value of time, and the value of decisions and things like that. So let's kind of continue to pull that thread for a moment.
Yep.
What are some of the other really significant barriers to AI adoption, especially in enterprise information management? And how do you see organizations, including your own, addressing these challenges?
Yep, I'll highlight a couple of things. The first one is organizational inertia, right? So people, some folks, not at our company, but I interact with a lot of peers in the network. This is how we have always done things, right? People need to, that's why the concept of organizational buy-in comes into play. As I said, if AI is a hammer looking for a nail, if it is a technology-driven initiative, it's not going to go far. So the entire organization needs to rally behind what we are trying to do. What type of outcomes are we trying to deliver? How is this going to enrich the lives of our customers? How are we providing value-added services, not only for today, but for the future? So we need to connect the why to the what and the how. And that could be a huge roadblock or a huge deterrent if companies are not mindful, thoughtful of doing that from the get-go. You know, imagine, like, I heard this from our CEO. This was during the space war. The president walks into one of the space stations, Cape Canaveral. There is a janitor. The president asks him, "What are you doing?" The janitor very proudly said, "I am putting a man on the moon." They were able to connect what they were doing on a daily basis at that level to a higher level objective, to a higher level mission. Like, that's how you build, like, you break down the organizational inertia, and you get into this form of organizational resonance where everybody understands the why we are doing this stuff. Okay, it makes sense now. It clicks. What the work that I'm doing is part of a bigger thing. This is how my work is contributing towards our bigger goal. So that's the big obstacle I would highlight. The second thing I would highlight, Tori, is data. As you know, if data sat in one location and everybody was using that same data set the same way, you call your customer XYZ and I called it the customer XYZ and everybody's reading from the same sheet of music, it's not a problem, but that's not how companies operate. Every company has disparate data systems. Having a very strong, robust data fabric is essential. And having something that can unify all these data assets They give you the ability to go get insights from wherever these data assets reside without moving terabytes or petabytes of data every single time a decision needs to be made. Like getting at the same level in terms of taxonomy and nomenclature. We call it data virtualization. I've also heard it referred to as zero copy data, where we let the data stay where it is, but we are leveraging AI to extract useful insights and bringing them to a central location to provide like that connective tissue that I spoke about. But that needs to be done in a way that it's deeply rooted at the foundational level. We need to have security, compliance, and things like that baked in. Data privacy, data residency cannot highlight the undermine the importance of those two things as well. So how do we do this in a secure and compliant manner? How do we unify the data fabric? How do we get on the same taxonomy, nomenclature, then bring our AI systems in that can plug into that data fabric that's strongly underpinned by security and compliance to gain higher value insights that we need? That could be a huge roadblock as well, but that's where companies need to be mindful of starting with security and compliance. Establish your non-negotiables. Start with those as your foundational elements, then build your data fabric on top of that, and then bring AI in to help turn data to insights and from insights to actions. So those are the two key things that I would highlight there, Tori. One from the people process side, the organizational buy-in, the other one from the technology side.
Yeah, and the architecture around it. And for technology leaders listening to this podcast, I think the idea of a zero copy data fabric sounds very appealing. What's the shopping list? Like, what am I putting on my shopping list to ask vendors about?
Yeah, so we have the idea is seamless integration. So if I were a customer, I'm looking for, hey, what do I need to do to get this zero copy? I would start with, what systems house my important data? Do I have a data lake or a data warehouse where some of this information may already be imported into already? And I'm sure there are some business rules that get applied to normalize the data as it comes in from these various systems into the data lake. Okay, great. That's a great place to start. But we still have unstructured data sitting in customers' ERP systems, sitting in CRM systems, human capital management systems, and any other upstream and downstream systems. The question is, do you have a unified platform strategy that allows you to interact with both your structured and unstructured data? And there are some companies that do both. They can bring your unstructured data, but they're like moving that data from where it is to a central location, very much like this data lake for structured data. They move all the data in. That may meet your needs, that may not meet your needs. So you got to define what makes sense for you. Mm-hmm. How often does this data change? How sensitive is that data? And this goes back to the question around security and compliance. Just because you have AI systems accessing your human capital management application, that doesn't automatically mean everybody can gain access to every bit of data that sits in that human capital management system. You got to preserve entitlements. If Swami or Tori, you can only view certain elements when you log into the application, then even when this goes through the AI machine, you still need to be only able to see what you're entitled to see. Not 1 ounce of data or not one byte of data more. So people need to be cognizant of that. How seamlessly can this platform integrate with your existing applications upstream or downstream? How are you thinking about security? How are you thinking about entitlements? How are you thinking about compliance? How much data are we really talking about? And that can drive some of these discussions around where do you need this true data abstraction, data virtualization, zero copy type stuff versus stuff that can really be pulled into a center where you can apply your retrieval augmented generation, plug them into a large language model and get the outputs that you desire versus leaving the data where it is. So that's how I would think of it if I were a customer. What are my use cases? Where does my data sit? Who needs to have access to this data? For what purpose? What net new data are we creating? How am I seamlessly able to integrate with my upstream or downstream systems? A very good example of that, Tori, is contract management. Let's say we onboard a new customer and AI picks up, okay, here's what the customer has signed up for. Here are the SLAs. Here's what the onboarding team needs to know before they can go onboard that particular customer. So we extract that metadata. We feed that into the system that the customer care group uses for onboarding. We make that information readily available to them. So there are like, how do you seamlessly integrate with your downstream systems for processing? So a lot of questions need to be asked. There is no one-size-fits-all answer for this, but the combination of all of these things will help companies or enterprises arrive at the right set of conclusions.
And I think it's echoing what you said earlier, that you start with strategy and you start with the business requirements and you go from there. And like you said, it's not one size fits all, but I also don't think that technology leaders and senior executives should be intimidated. It seems like there's a lot of options and a lot of things you have to think about first, but I think the reality is we're far enough along on this AI journey that there are more use cases out there and actual companies that have implemented this stuff than there are not. I mean, Ames research showed that at least last year, the research showed at least 77% of enterprises have at least experimented with AI. And so when you have that level of maturity with AI implementations, I think there's some reassurance there, right? You can look at practical use cases, and Iron Mountain has plenty of clients that have actually done this stuff. It's not theoretical anymore. We have practice in implementing these things.
Yep.
So let's talk a little bit about financial institutions, because you have obviously a pretty deep background in finance. Finance is a highly regulated industry. There's government and higher ed. How do enterprises in highly regulated industries balance AI-driven innovation with all the requirements that they have to adhere to around data privacy, security, et cetera?
Yeah, that's another great question. So first, having a robust AI governance framework is absolutely paramount. And a lot of institutions already have this. This includes defining clear ethical guidelines, establishing an oversight committee, and implementing policies for privacy, security. And the last piece is important. This is explainability. And what I mean by that is we got to be able to explain the decision-making process. How did an AI model arrive at a certain set of outcomes? This is like show how the sausage is being made. So people can understand, okay, here's how the machine, the AI machine or the model made the decisions that it did. So institutions need to invest in explainable AI technologies. And a lot of vendors already offer this out of the box, but it requires a lot of fine tuning and configuration to make sure that it meets your needs. So explainable AI is absolutely paramount. The second thing I say, the financial institutions already do a great job with this, is prioritizing data privacy and security by design. It cannot be an afterthought. By integrating privacy and security considerations into the design and development of the AI systems from the outset, leveraging things like data anonymization, pseudonymization, encryption, and things like that, which these financial institutions already do, is absolutely paramount in the generative AI era as well. And then the next thing I would highlight, in addition to strong data governance, we need to have audit trails where we show clear data lineage. Where did the data come from? Like, what was the origin? What type of, like we spoke about the explainability piece already, but how did the data move through the system? Tracking the data lineage from where it was to where it is absolutely paramount. We spoke about access controls. All the entitlements need to be preserved. So if Tori had access to a specific data set and a new data set was created using that base data, would Tori still need to have access to it? Make sure that it's not wide open for everybody to see. So it needs to be set up inside of a walled garden with the right type of access controls and security mechanisms in place. comprehensive audit trails are also absolutely paramount to meet regulatory requirements and to demonstrate compliance. And like I said before, this is a team sport. It is going to take a village. So companies need to be conscious about fostering collaboration between AI teams and their legal and compliance department, like we spoke about. These regulations are ever changing. The EU AI Act was passed last year. Similarly, a legislation that's going to be passed in the US this year. So that strong interlock between the AI teams, the business, the legal and compliance teams are absolutely paramount. And then if a company is just starting this work off, we spoke about let's start small and iterate. That holds true for financial institutions as well. A phased approach, start with your low risk applications, focus on your back office applications, and gradually expand that to more sensitive areas as trust and understanding of the AI systems evolve and grow. Start with low risk, and then based on your risk appetite, figure out like how best to implement AI capabilities for medium and even high risk applications. The last piece is, you highlighted this already, cannot underemphasize the human oversight piece. Human in the loop is going to be a huge component. Recognizing AI, like we said before, is a tool in our toolkit. It is a tool. And human intervention and review are absolutely crucial, especially in areas that require decision-making that have significant customer impact. You can't underemphasize the importance or overstate the importance of human oversight in this case.
And so at Iron Mountain, you have an AI Center of Excellence. Tell us a little bit more about what the goal of that Center of Excellence is, what responsibilities it has, and is it playing a role in unifying the cross-departmental teams that you talked about, legal, compliance, data governance? Okay, you're nodding, so tell me that. Yeah, they do.
That's exactly right. So the reason why we set up the COE is to bring the teams together, because we acknowledge we don't know what we don't know. This was uncharted waters for us when ChatGPT burst out onto the scene at the end of, when was it, 2023. Mm-hmm. Uncharted waters. Everybody was trying to figure out what their AI strategy is. And as I said before, we acknowledged we don't know what we don't know. And we needed a team of experts, not just technology experts, but legal experts, compliance experts, experts that know how the work gets done. These are folks in the business unit. We wanted to put together a core cross-functional group to educate us, the collective us, on what AI is, how are the legal teams looking at it, what does it mean from a compliance standpoint, what does it mean from a practical application standpoint. Getting the teams together was one of the main things that we did as part of establishing the AI Center of Excellence. The next thing we did, and this is a big remit of the AI COE, I spoke about the training program that we have put together here. The COE is also responsible for demystifying AI. A lot of people think AI is out there to take people's jobs. We don't look at it that way. We see this as not a job displacement tool, but rather as a job augmentation tool. This is another tool in our toolkit, allowing human beings, freeing up human cycles to go focus on actions or activities that require complex analysis and decision-making. So we are thoughtful about educating the entire Iron Mountain community, as I said before, what AI is, what its limitations are, what its applications are, and like enabling them, empowering them to come up with ideas, incentivizing them to come up with ideas. That was a huge part of the AI Center of Excellence. The third piece is we wanted to bring AI in a secure, compliant manner. So we established our non-negotiables around security, around compliance, around data privacy, around data residency, and the stuff that we spoke about, entitlements, preserving entitlements as net new data gets generated through the system. So that we said those are foundational. Those are non-negotiable for our company, without which we are not bringing any AI capabilities in. We also got that plugged in with our architecture review board, where we review third-party risk, where we have legal review of any new products that we bring in, so on and so forth. So that was a huge part of establishing those foundational bits and pieces as well. And then the last bit is around return on investment and key performance indicators. We are not deploying AI for the sake of deploying AI. AI is not a hammer looking for a nail. The questions we need to ask is, okay, we started with the process. How do we responsibly, securely, and compliantly embed AI in, like, pick a customer's journey through the Iron Mountain ecosystem, understand what processes are underpinning that customer journey, and embed AI into relevant, pertinent areas in secure, compliant, responsible, and ethical ways? Once we embed it, what? Like, what happens? What are the outcomes we are trying to provide for? Is this going to result in cost optimization? Is this going to result in better customer satisfaction? Is this going to result in time to value, improving time to value? Is this going to result in us putting together new products and capabilities that we can go to market with based on meeting our customers' needs? So tracking return on investment with proper KPIs and metrics are absolutely paramount for us. That was a huge responsibility for the AI Center of Excellence here as well.
And it sounds like your Center of Excellence is really creating sustainability around AI for Iron Mountain. It's laying this really critical layer of foundation, right? I guess my question for you, and I know it's a little unfair to ask, a decade from now, do you think Iron Mountain will still have an AI Center of Excellence? Or will it become, AI becomes so integrated into the fabric of Iron Mountain that it's like superfluous to have this center of excellence?
That's a great question, Tori. And I would be lying to you if I told you I knew the answer to that. What I do envision is, as we embark on this journey of agentic AI, as companies figure out the agent-to-agent, they call it A2A for short, frameworks, we are going to have tons of agents, tons of digital workers that get deployed out there in the field. Some of, like, purpose-built agents that can think and act autonomously on behalf of human beings and allowing these various systems and tools to talk to each other. So I do see a widespread democratization of AI capabilities in the form of AI agents. But for me, the foundational things, if you go back to security, if you go back to compliance, if you go back to data privacy, if you go back to, I read somewhere that cybersecurity is the third largest economy in the globe right now. And my main takeaway from that is, like, adversaries are using AI every day.
Yeah.
And we need to make sure that we are enabling our own resources to use AI to fight AI-related, like, actions, malicious actions coming in. The point that I'm trying to get across is security, compliance, data privacy, and things like that are going to look totally different 10 years from now than they do today. When we think about bringing these agentic AI framework in, when we think about deploying digital workers to do all the repetitive tasks, but there's always going to be that element of security and compliance that is going to require some semblance of not a centralized group, but a cross-functional group. But thinking about, okay, how do I deal with this problem? How do I deal with entitlements? How do I deal with orphaned agents? Like, let's say Swami went ahead and spun up an agent for his company. Swami left the company. What happens to that agent now? Like, who's going to pick up responsibility for that? So there still needs to be a lot of thought put into the governance and compliance, more so than the technology bits. So bringing technology in, I think that's going to be democratized. And I would be very happy if we all took these tools and we started driving adoption of it enterprise-wide. But that framework, that still needs to be established. That governance structure still needs to be in place. So I do believe the COE would exist. in a slightly different format than it is right now for the very reasons that I mentioned here.
Well, I feel like we're getting a theme through this conversation that I like your advice that it's really more about the strategy, and I appreciate your openness to changing the organizational structure and changing the needs. We don't know if we'll need an information security officer. We might. We don't know if we'll need a COE. We might. So I think that willingness to adapt and change based off of the requirements as the enterprise evolves is really important. So continuing this very unfair ask to get you to forecast things in a very rapidly accelerating environment. Last question is, looking ahead 3 to 5 years, which emerging AI technologies or approaches do you think are going to fundamentally change how we manage information?
That is a great question. So I think we covered that with the agentic AI, right? I believe that is going to be huge. And our Iron Mountain Insight DXP platform have agents built in already that can seamlessly integrate with customer systems upstream, downstream. We are getting a ton of good quality feedback from our customers already. So I'm basing my response from the interactions we've had with customers that leverage our DXP platform. We truly believe that's what the future is going to look like. We are going to have AI agents that interact with each other, that can seamlessly talk with each other, that's capable of making decisions autonomously, as unveiled with our DXP platform here. So that's going to be huge. The second piece is cybersecurity. We spoke about that earlier as well. Adversaries are using AI on a daily basis. Gone are the days where you could go look for a very specific signature for a virus. Now, AI is introducing polymorphic encryption where the virus signatures change. So if you're looking for a constant pattern or a constant signature, it's not going to work. You need to fight AI with AI. So how are companies going to bring AI into the mix? Are they leveraging AI-powered insights to like keep threats, vulnerabilities, and bad actors at bay? I think there is going to be a prominent focus on using cybersecurity. I'm sorry, using AI to provide better cybersecurity outcomes for enterprises at large is going to be huge. So in the next 3 to 5 years, I think agents, we're going to see a lot more of those come out, a lot more of those deployed, providing meaningful, practical, like towards practical applications, providing a ton of return on investment for companies, providing meaningful, impactful value for enterprises, allowing them to serve their customers that much better. And then improved cybersecurity resilience is another area that we are laser focused on as well.
Oh, that's super. And I love that you're backing those forecasts with what you're hearing today from clients and what they're really needing and interested in. So thank you so much, Swami, for being on AIM on Air. This was a fascinating conversation, and I'm excited about the future based on off of the forecast that you're painting for us. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, truly appreciate the time here. It's been wonderful spending some time with you, and thank you for having me on.
Absolutely. Thanks, Swami.
Thank you.